come back prepared next week. Amen. You're going to come to worship. Come prepared, right? We invite you back anytime. Anytime. And like I said, try to come prepared next time, though. Amen. Well, I enjoyed that, didn't y'all? Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see everybody. Friends and from yesteryear. Yesteryear. I guess it's been a long time. You know, we used to, I know all of our folks and been around them all my life. And it was just a treat when I heard they were coming this morning. I get excited about that, you know, to get to be in church with somebody. It seems like so many times, time seems to separate. But God's got a way to put you back together, hasn't he? Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I want you to look at the book of Genesis with me. I'm going to preach salvation by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ out of Genesis this morning. I want to preach to you about the creation of man, how God created him in his own image. And we know the image of God, that it's sinless, right? And so I want to also preach to you this morning, make a point about every child in here before they come to an age of accountability is saved by God's grace. Amen. All children and babies go to heaven. I've heard that discussed several times, and I want to show you about the creation story that we have in Genesis that God applies that to our life still today. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I want to get something very plain with you and very set in my mind. You know, I know they spend a lot of time wondering about how the earth got here, how the world was made and all that. I could tell them, amen, God made it. God made this thing, and he made it beautiful. He made it wonderful. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, if there's ever any doubt in your mind or any question, just turn over here to the first chapter and the first verse, and it'll tell you that God created the heavens and the earth. And he did a wonderful job, didn't he? I know there's a dispute goes on and takes place all the time, and they say it happened this way, it happened that way. I believe God, and God said he created it. Amen. Now, that's final for me. Story over. That's final because I believe God. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let the light that saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And so that's a pretty good day's work for God. You know, when he created, he saw it without form and void, and he made it take shape. And he did a good job in this. Now, when we start talking about God and his wonder and his ability, just go outside and look around, hear the birds singing, see the flowers blooming, the trees putting on leaves, and say, thank you, God, for doing a good job. In my mind, it's settled, it's over, it's finished. God created it. Amen. This earth that I walk on, God created it. Let's look a little bit farther in Genesis. Y'all stay with me. Selected verses. In chapter 1 and verse 26. Chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. Now I want to stop. I want you to notice right up here in this first part. And God said, let us. Amen. Let us. I want everybody to notice. And God said, let us. And this us, he's talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the Trinity. Amen. There it is. You know, he said, let us. He didn't say, I'm going to do it by myself, but let us. And he said, make man in our own image. Now, we talk about the image of God. When I think about an image of God, it's sin. It's sinless. I'm telling you, there's no sin in God. It's about happiness. It's about joy. It's about pleasure. It's about forgiveness. And I think about when he said, let us make man in our image, how we fell from the image that God was intended us to be. Now, when he started talking about, let us make God in our own image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So they're in the likeness. They're in the form of God. They're in the image of God, and we know God to be eternal. Now when he talked about this, I want you to understand he created man with an eternal soul. Now, I know there's a lot of pet lovers here, and I don't want to get too much on you dogs and cats, but I'm going to tell you, they don't have an eternal soul. Amen. He created man with an eternal soul. That's in the likeness of God, who is forever and ever and ever. God never ends. And so we're created in that image. If no other thing, we have that eternal soul living within us. When these children are born, they're born with an eternal soul that's going to spend an eternity somewhere. And God planned it that way in His own image. I like to stand and tell people I'm created in the image of God. And they might say, I knew your mom and daddy. I've got a heavenly Father that I'm created in His image. Amen. I've got an eternal soul living within me. And so He created man in His own image, in His own likeness. Now you keep this in mind. A little bit farther over, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord formed, God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. And so this breath of life that came from God stays forever somewhere. Now he is singing a minute ago. He said, when he talked about the body laid down, but the spirit wasn't there. Amen. I just love that, don't y'all? That when our flesh lays down, the spirit's gone standing beside God. Wonderful song to bring this out. And so we get into the point that God has created man in his own likeness, in his own image. Now keep this in mind as we go a little bit farther. In verse 15 of chapter 2, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, I like about where God places people, don't you? I believe God's still in the business of placing people where they ought to be. That if you'll listen to God, He'll place you where you need to be, where you can be used. Now, notice, He placed him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He didn't send him there just to lay up and get fat and lazy. He sent him there to work. Have y'all ever saw that before, that God placed him in a place where he could work? And I got excited about that. I believe God directs pastors. I believe God directs choir leaders. I believe God directs teachers. I believe God directs members of the church of where they ought to be. That if we'll listen and talk with God, he'll put us where we need to be. He put this man created in the Garden of Eden to dress it. He put him there to work. Amen. Ain't no free ticket, are they? Put him there to work. In verse 16, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Now notice this. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now God was talking about spiritual death right here. He is talking about a spiritual death where it was going to take a rebirth. It was going to be born again. We'll cover that in a few minutes. But I got thinking about this tree of life, and until this man ate of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, he had no problem with God whatsoever. He's created in the image of God, and that's sinless. Amen. He's created in the likeness of God. And so when he comes down the point, until he knows good and evil, he's like God. Now, I want to preach to everybody that's got young children. If something happens to them before they know good and evil, they're like God. They'll go to be with the Lord forever. Amen. We won't have to preach them there. We won't have to sing them there. They're already in the hands of God. And until they step out, until they step away, they belong to God. Just as Adam did. Created in the image. When you walk up and you hold one of these little children that we're blessed to have several here this morning, you hold one of these little children, you ought to see God's face. You ought to feel the power of God, because that's the image of God created. They're sinless, amen? They don't know good and evil. And so they're sinless. They're not accountable for the things they do. Down in verse 21, I'm just going through this briefly. Verse 21, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Amen. Now, I want to talk about, you know, this is one flesh. This is God's plan for marriage of a man and a woman. This is what he intends it to be. We don't preach it, I guess, long enough or strong enough for the pulpit. But when Adam saw what God had created for him, he said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. We're one in God. Now, that's the plan for marriage that God had. It's a man and a woman, not two women, not two men. And I want to make that very plain. It's man and woman. Amen. And then they become one flesh. So it goes on. Here's a man and he has a woman created by God. And they're together. Amen. And bone to bone and flesh to flesh. One. In verse 25, and they were both naked. And the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, we want to deal on this nakedness just for a few minutes. If we related that today, it could be nakedness, it could be sin, either way. It said they weren't ashamed. They were both standing there naked. Now, you think about that. And they weren't ashamed because they didn't know good or evil. Amen. They had no knowledge of it. They were there, and everything was fine. Now, when we start thinking about sin, and I want to preach this very plain, until you have knowledge of good and evil and know sin, you shouldn't be ashamed. You didn't know better. They didn't know better. They standing there naked, man and woman. They're not ashamed. One reason, because they're one flesh. They become one. They don't see individuals. They see us. Us. I'll preach that another day. I want to go farther with this. Chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Now that's a mistake. When you start having a discussion with the devil, you've already lost. Amen. When you start having conversation with the devil, you've already lost. The best answer in that is, get behind me, Satan, in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Got nothing to say to you. But she's having a conversation. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, he's talking about this spiritual death again. Their flesh was going to continue, but they were going to be spiritually dead. I see a lot of dead people every day walking around doing jobs and driving up and down the road, taking care of business, whatever it might be. But they're spiritually dead to God. They're alive in the flesh, but that spirit of God within them is dead because of sin has killed it. And verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Did he just lie to her? Did he just tell her a lie? And she believed it. He can make them sound so real and so, well, I guess desirable, that she believed it. He lied to her, and she bought it. Because she already had a desire to taste the fruit. Now be careful of that. In verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, he had that part right. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was present to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. All of a sudden, they realized, oh, you know, I can see the picture standing in the Garden of Eden. I don't know if you can visualize this or not. Here's Adam. Here's Eve. They're standing together. They're both naked. All of a sudden, they partake of the fruit. They know good and evil. Adam looks over and says, oh, you're naked. He's shocked. She looks back and said, what is that? Because the first time they've got knowledge of the nakedness that they're standing in. Now, when this takes place, I get thinking about it. You know, they're shocked. They think, okay, let's do something about this. Let's take care of this problem we got. We're naked. Let's cover ourselves up. Now, that's a normal thought, right? People in sin want to cover it up, don't they? People living outside the boundaries of God, they want to do something about it, most of the time of their own accord. In verse 8, or verse 7, and the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves safer. This is a normal thing that takes place every day in this world, in this life. People try to cover their own nakedness. They try to cover their own sin by their own ability. Now, you listen to me. By their own ability. You see, Adam and Eve said, well, let's cover this up before God sees us. Let's make us some aprons out of fig leaves. So they sewed these things together. They probably put a big effort into it. Did the best they could do. They spent a lot of time, a lot of effort. They put on these things, and I can just imagine, you know, they're standing there, and Eve probably steps out and said, how does this look? For every husband in this church, the answer is, that's beautiful. Now, I don't care what it is. Oh, that looks good on you. Amen. Now, you keep that in mind. Here's Adam. He's in a situation. You know, he's standing over there. He's got an apron on too, fig leaves, you know. But she's concerned about how it looks. And he said, what do you think about this? And Adam's standing there thinking, oh, it looks good. It's beautiful. Said, I believe that's going to cover up your nakedness. I believe that's going to take care of our problem. What about my apron? Does it cover me up? Yeah. And so their own works, their own ability, they had worked hard trying to cover their nakedness. Let me tell you, God sees through our works. There's not but one thing to take away sin, and that's the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's it, the Son of God. If you're not under that blood, you're still naked and you're still in sin. I don't care how hard you work. I don't care what you put on. If it's anything less than the blood of Jesus, it don't work. It gets down to the point like mopping a mud floor. The more you mop it, the muddier it'll get. Now you just think about it. The more effort you put in it, the worse it gets, the slicker it gets, the slimier it gets, the muddier it gets. And you work and you work and you work. There's one thing to cover sin in this day and time, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. The Son of God died and bled for us. They get this works confused sometimes. I'm telling you, there's a lot of good people around here. There's a lot of good people around here. But if they're not under blood, they're still covered. I mean, they're in their sin. And I get thinking about, you know, you get into that good old boy, good old girl thing. I run into this day after day after day. How do you stand with the Lord? Well, I pay my bills. Any y'all ever heard that one? How do you stand with God? Well, I pay my bills. I don't beat my wife. I don't cuss the dog or kick the cat. Take care of my family. I said, I'm talking about how do you stand with God, not how you live your life. How do you stand with God? They get in their mentality that they're going to work out their salvation. Well, God tells us our works are as filthy rags, so we've got nothing to turn to except the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's that blood shed on the cross of Calvary. It's not what you can do. It's not what you've done, but it's about what you believe and what you accept to cover your sins. Now, y'all got quiet, but I'm going to tell you, everybody here could name somebody that's told them that very thing. Well, I pay my bills. I take care of my family. And that's a good thing. Praise God for those that pay their bills and take care of their family and don't beat their wives and kick the dog and cuss the cat and all these things, whatever. Praise God for them. But I'm going to tell you, just as Adam and Eve, they're still naked in the sight of God. When God looks down on us, if you're not covered in the blood, He sees your sins. I don't care what you've done, how hard you've worked, it's still there. God sees your sin. I'm thankful I'm under the blood because I've got sin. Amen. We all have. The scripture says if you say you're without sin, you're a liar and the truth ain't in you, right? And so if we got any sinless people sitting here, that's what scripture said. But I know I have sin, but I'm so thankful when God looks down, He sees me through the purification and the blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He sees this old boy white as snow. You may not. But He does. And so this works. Amen. I'm glad people work. I read to you earlier. God put Adam in the Garden of Eden to work. Amen. But He didn't work for his salvation. He put him in there to work and support himself and provide. And so when we start thinking about this thing, they're there in their fig leaves. It looks pretty good to them. They've probably convinced themselves, well, I believe we're going to fool God with this one. I believe we're going to pull one over on Him. That's the mentality that goes on in this world. We're going to fool God. We're going to pull one over on. God's never been fooled. God don't get anything pulled over on him. They're standing there saying, now, you know, these look pretty good. I don't believe he'll notice we're naked. In verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees in the garden. That's one of the saddest verses in Scripture I can ever read. How a creation of God, two creations of God, a man and a woman, who before have been in close fellowship and communion with God, I believe each and every day, I believe God walked in the same garden. I believe they'd walked with him day after day after day and time after time. I believe sometimes he'd even take them by the hand. I can imagine. I can just see this. He'd even take them by the hand. That's God's creation. And all of a sudden, because of their nakedness, because of their effort failing, they were afraid of God. When they heard his voice, it said they hid themselves. That's what sin does in your life. That's what sin does in your life, that it'll make you hide out from God or try to. You'll be down in the trees hiding when God's speaking to you. You know, that brings this kind of thing. That's what brought to them. They knew right and wrong. They knew good and evil. And all of a sudden, they weren't the same with God because they needed a sacrifice made to cover their sins and their nakedness. Now, you keep this in mind. And when God called, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? God asking a question. God knows all things. God don't have to ask, where art thou? He didn't ask, where art thou, that God might know. He asked that Adam might know where he's at. Now, here's a point we need to make today. People need to know where they stand with God. Amen. They need to know. And that comes from good singing that convicts them. It comes from good teaching that brings them up to knowledge and the Word of God. It comes from Spirit-filled preaching from the pulpits of this nation that people know, where art thou? God asked the question, but he already knew. He asked the question so Adam would know where he was. He wanted him to realize what had happened. He wanted him to realize where he stood with God. He said, where art thou? And I thought if God came in right now in this church and asked everybody, where art thou? Where would you answer? Are you hiding out down in the trees because you're ashamed? Or would you be willing to meet God face to face? That's the position and place we want to come to. In verse 10, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Hiding out from God. Isn't that a discouraging, terrible thing? That a God that you were once so close to, your Creator, that you were so close to, you had such a loving relationship with, and all of a sudden, because of your change, not God's, you're separated and you're afraid. That's sad, isn't it? I know the sadness. I've been there before. Because of my sin, because of my disobedience, because of things I didn't do. I've been there before. That a God that you were so close to, that, oh, I've had times in life that when I knelt down and I said, dear Heavenly Father, and he opened up the heavens. And then I've had other times that when I'd call, I don't know about the answer. And I think about this for Adam when he asked him, where art thou? I want to preach to you and ask you today that you understand where you are with God. Now, ain't no use tell me. I can't do anything for you. But I want you to understand and know where you are. God's calling out in this church right now, where art thou? He's calling your name. Where art thou? He wants to know where you're at. Are you hid out down in the garden because of sins, because of nakedness? Are you willing to meet him face to face and say, dear Heavenly Father? And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman that whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And so they make confession. I want you to notice right here, Adam confessed his sin. If you're going to get back right with God, you're going to confess your sin. Confess sin is forgiven sin. Until you forgive it, God won't. Until you confess it, God can't forgive it or won't forgive it. And so I got thinking about, here's this man and a woman. They're out with God. They're on the outside looking in. They're afraid of God. And all of a sudden, they confess their sins. Amen. Well, we're just kind of light on preaching that this day and time, that sin has to be confessed. And it's not confessed to me or some priest or any other person. It's confessed to God, that you come down on your face before the throne and say, God, I've sinned. And I'm asking forgiveness. And He's true and just and faithful to forgive you that sin. Don't be afraid of God. Don't be out with God. Confess the sin that separates you. Very plain, isn't it? God rehearses with them a few minutes and tells them the penalties. But when they confess this sin, God's going to forgive it. Confess sin is forgiven sin. Over in verse 21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Fig leaves wouldn't do it. Had to be made at the hand of God. I want you to notice they confessed their sins and God forgave them, and then He was going to make something to cover them. Now, does that sound to anybody here like what He did on the cross of Calvary through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? He made a sacrifice of His Son. The blood of Jesus Christ covered our confessed sins, that our nakedness, our sin no longer show. I thought about how sad it was that they had stepped away, they had fallen away from God, they had separated themselves from God, and He had to make a sacrifice. Y'all all know it said, up here it said, unto Adam and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins. And we know where you get skins from, some animal. God didn't skin it alive, it had to die. God had to make a sacrifice there in the Garden of Eden of some animal at that time, to take their skins to cover His creation. To cover His creation. And then thousands of years later, He made another sacrifice. His name is Jesus. Amen. Hung Him on the cross of Calvary. Just as the death and the bloodshed occurred in the Garden of Eden, so it did at Gethsemane on the cross where He hung. Make a sacrifice for His creation. Every one of us, this whole world, He made that sacrifice on the cross. His name is Jesus. His blood covers everyone that will accept it. It's unlimited. The sins it could cover. Confess sin, covered by the blood of Jesus. Cast as far as from east to the west, never to be remembered again. Y'all might remember what I did last week or last year, but if it was sin and I confessed it, God know. Amen. That song we sang the other night, what sin are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. So don't beat yourself up over something that happened years ago or months ago or last night or yesterday. Confess it, get it forgiven, and God won't remember it anymore. The plan of salvation, very plain. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Boy, that's in a nutshell. That's all it takes to get you saved this morning. All it would take to get you back right standing with God this morning is confess whatever it is that's in your life. I can't confess for you. It's up to you. But if you've noticed that separation, things just not quite right between you and God anymore, you check up on yourself, because God hadn't changed and He won't change. Let's have a verse for song. We'll close with that. Praise be to God. I'm sure glad God covered me one day. Under the blood. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Everybody stand your feet. If somebody need to come pray, y'all come on down.
141.
Appreciate the musicians and Kristen leading our choir today. Did a good job. We appreciate her. Thank God for everybody coming this way. Y'all be very much in prayer about all those folks we got traveling. I think about 10, 12, 14 of them's on their way back today, so they're on the road. You pray for them. We got a lot of sick folks. Continue to pray for them. And more than anything else, pray for each other.
Amen.
Pray for the ones that's here. I mean, we always say, well, let's pray for them. They're not here. Let's pray for the ones that's here. I want you to pray for me, and I'll pray for you. We need to pray for each other. We're in a situation in the world. Y'all been watching all this about the bombing things and all this stuff, you know. And bless their heart, the news media spent 2 days debating whether or not to read them their rights. It's beating the thing I ever saw in my life, you know. That'll be considering justice, you know. But I'm not going to get into that. That's our nation, that's the way. And it's the best they are. Don't misunderstand. I don't like part of it, but it's the best they are. And man, I'm glad I ain't China this morning. I'd be locked up because I said Jesus. You know, you can't say that openly over there in several places. Y'all plan to come back tonight if you can't. We're going to sing. We're going to pray. We're going to preach. We're going to teach. We're going to just whatever God leads. That's what I plan to do, you know. And the Wednesday night thing, I don't know if we're getting that across to you or not. I don't know if we're getting that across to you, the importance we're putting on this. We want you here. Amen. Now, that's going to be a special service. I'd like you to come every Wednesday night. And everybody said, well, I'm busy there. But if you can't come any other time, you come that Wednesday night. What day is it? May the 8th, Wednesday night. We're going to have supper starting down here at 6 o'clock. No cost, don't cost you a thing. We're feeding you. Amen. We're going to have supper, and we're going to eat from 6 till 7. And then we're going to break that fellowship, and we're going to sit in with our youth groups. They're going to be teaching us that night. I don't know if they're going to divide us in groups. I ain't got no idea, but they've got plans for us, and we want you here. I want to overwhelm them. I want them teachers down there to have to teach about 20 kids and 20 adults in every class. And then when we get finished there, we're going outside, and like I said, we're going to play with fire. It's Japanese lanterns, and they go up, and we got, I don't want to hear any complaints. We've got the biodegradable, nature safe, amen, you know. And so if they hit the ground, they just rot out in a day or two and don't kill a rabbit or a bird or anything. And if we set the woods on fire, so be it. So be it. We've got a fire department around the corner, and I'm going to tell them, say, it got so hot over there, the woods caught on fire. I'm going to tell them the Spirit of the Lord got so real and so hot, the fire came down from heaven. And I'm going to do it with a straight face. When that fire chief comes over here, I'm going to tell him, say, must have been fire fell from heaven. Hide the lanterns before he gets here. But we're not worried about that too much. All right? But y'all pray about that. Special service. We want to do something for our children. Now, this is about our young people. This is about our youth group. And I'm talking to the church that's usually meeting up here. I want you to come. You know, that's just what it is. Show some support. Our youth group, if y'all don't know, 2 weeks ago had 7 kids saved. 2 weeks ago, Wednesday night.
Amen.
Sounds like we ought to support them a bunch, don't it? 7 young lives saved. One night, Praise the Lord. So we're going down sport. All right, I'm going to get off that one till next service, I guess, or next week, whenever. Any word, anything before we go? Anybody?